to More with Mo. My name's Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at JulieLandRadio.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the second smoothest man I know, Mr. Richard Avery.
Yo.
You're a pretty smooth guy. You're good with the ladies, right?
Well, my butt's smooth because I get it waxed.
Oh, but you have ladies, you have girls, they come over to your place, they get naked, they touch themselves.
Chicks be digging me.
They be digging you. They be digging your camera.
True.
That's all it is.
They like my camera more than they like me.
A man with a camera is suddenly much more popular.
You know, I've always said to how the camera, my camera to me is Excalibur. It's like the things I can get a girl to do with a camera in my hand, mm-hmm. they would never do without
Ever.
The camera.
Ever.
If I said to a girl and said, hey, baby, get naked and masturbate for me and shove things in your pussy, they would have me arrested. But with a camera, they go, sure, let's
sure,
do it.
Sure, I'll do that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, today we are going to be talking with the smoothest man I know. Today's guest is Mr. J. Smooth.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. So, do you have a camera?
I do have a camera.
Is that how you get the girls?
No.
He's smarter than
has
that.
A camera.
Now,
we carry all our cell phones with
everybody
us.
Everybody does. Yeah. That's true. It used to be being a photographer was cool, and we could do it. Now, not so much. Now, anybody can do it, and you know.
Not everybody's a photographer.
They put it on Instagram.
Selfies, photographer especially.
Exactly. Now, you're a mildly attractive guy.
Mildly, yeah, thank you.
Mildly.
I appreciate that.
But you are, in my opinion, the guy that your name fits you because you're just a suave-looking guy.
I mean, I have a lot of people think that I'm black just because of a name that I chose.
That's so true. I could buy into that.
Where'd you get the name from?
There's not really a backstory behind that name, you know, but because I'm Polish originally, so my legal name would be completely... very, very difficult to pronounce for a lot of people, so I had to go with a very simple name. So Jay came to me as a very simple name. Smooth. I'm generally smooth. That's how it is.
It works.
I simple. Like the way he thinks.
I'm generally smooth.
It's like, I'm just thinking, like, how'd you come with Mo? It's like, I just thought I was Mo, and I'm going to go with Mo.
I just shortened my name. Exactly. It made life so much easier. So you work in the adult industry. You're a male talent.
That's correct.
And so how long have you been doing this?
I've been working in the adult industry for about 3 years, plus maybe 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Now, have you only done it here in the U.S. or did you originate from Europe?
I started in the U.S. and then I started traveling around the world and shooting almost everywhere in Europe.
Yeah.
And then
have you ever shot in Budapest?
Yes, I've been to Budapest a couple times.
And which do you prefer, here in Chatsworth or Budapest?
Not necessarily Chatsworth, but I think the working here in the United States is way more efficient and way more professional than working in Europe, generally speaking.
Really? We're more efficient?
Oh, yeah. Americans are way more efficient than Europeans, especially in Budapest. So Americans value their time, you know, so definitely they maximize the work in a little time frame.
I've heard that from Samantha Bentley is one of my mm-hmm. girls. She says the same thing. She's like, to shoot something in like England or Budapest, she's like, it's like this whole day, like, hey, let's just do this leisurely, and they want to make something. We're here,
let's make breakfast, let's take stills for an hour and a half, and the photographer is looking at the camera, it's like, oh, that's a beautiful image. It's like, oh, can we get going? And then, okay, let's take a break for lunch, and then maybe we'll show the scene. So it's a whole day thing. It's a very nice, I mean, some sets are really cool and nice, a family-oriented atmosphere, let's put it this way, but, you know, business-wise, I think, you know, efficiency. Yeah. I don't like to waste anybody's time.
Yeah.
So a penthouse day in Budapest would be 20 hours long.
I've shot for penthouse in Budapest for a European director. Mm-hmm. And yes, definitely, it's a way longer day than a penthouse day here in America.
Okay, so 3 years. Are you having fun? Are you enjoying it?
Yes. I've had a good experiences. You know, everybody has good and bad experiences, but... so far, I've had more great experiences than bad experiences. I mean, the cool part of my work and the genre that I mostly work in is the fact that I got to travel to a lot of very interesting destinations. So, mm-hmm. You know, meet a lot of different people. It's never boring. This job is never boring. It's not a...
I can't imagine.
No, it changes
routine.
All the time.
It's changed all the time. It's always some challenges that comes across. And yeah. You
know. What's your favorite city not to shoot in, but just your favorite city to be in? Don't say Chatsworth.
Los Angeles, of course.
Okay, really? Besides Los Angeles.
Besides. You know, that's a very tough question because, you know, I grew up in Europe. I've traveled a lot of places. I found my favorite spot here in Southern California.
Yeah.
I like London for the fact that London has a lot to offer, because it offers a lot of cultural opportunities, sports opportunities, entertainment opportunities, and a multicultural city. So basically you can find everybody from everywhere there.
Yeah.
I hate the weather though, but there's a lot of good things about that. And I would say in Europe, Barcelona is a very interesting place. Ooh. Because it's a very open-minded place comparing to a lot of different cities. And it has a beautiful coast.
I was there on a trip to do a job. Stopped in Barcelona like for half a day. Didn't get to leave the airport. But then we flew to a place, I don't know if you ever heard of it, called Almeria. It's at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's they call it the it's where they filmed all the spaghetti westerns. It's like they call it the Spanish Hollywood, and it's a dump. But we were there for a week on a job, and it was a dump. It was like, it was so bad. But there was like, this is this Spain's Hollywood. You're like, well, this is not even close to Hollywood.
Now, you've traveled all over Europe then, and so my 40th birthday is coming up.
Yes.
And I've traveled once, almost exactly 10 years ago. I traveled to Tokyo. And so I had an amazing experience, but that is about as foreign as I've been. I've been to Toronto. I've been to Tijuana. I've been to a lot of tea places, actually, now that I think about it.
Tarzana.
Exactly. So you've been all over Europe. I've had somebody say, I wanted to go to Paris. I had somebody else suggested that I go into Italy. I've had one other person that actually said London. So out of all of Europe, where would you advise somebody who has never been to Europe? Where would you advise I go?
My favorite place for a vacation would be southern France, the French Riviera, which is the Nice, from Nice to Monaco, all the way to almost the Italian border of city of Sanremo. I would say that area. My favorite. Why? Because it has beautiful views, amazing cuisine, beautiful weather.
It's expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah, it's expensive, but it's worth the visit.
What are we talking expensive? When we talk about expensive, when you're on vacation, what are your bills? Your bills are your hotel, your food, and what you want to go see. So what are we talking $600 for a hotel?
Let me tell you that. Like, when I traveled to Europe years ago, I went with my girlfriend, and we were there for almost 6 weeks. And the way we did it, and I think it was smart, and I've done it again that way since, but it's like we always said to ourselves, cheap lunches, meaning, you know, sandwiches or whatever, but nice dinners. And so the way we budgeted things was always like, how much are we spending a day per city? We were all over Europe and stuff. So to us, it was always like, our budget was like, okay, $300 a day. You have to kind of, between hotel, food, some kind of entertainment, maybe it's a ticket to some tour thing or whatever. Like in Italy, we went on a bus ride through Siena or whatever. But you kind of just break it down. When you start putting the trip together, break it down that way per day, kind of a thing. And you can find cheap places to stay now more than ever through Airbnb and so on and so forth. Like,
I was looking at Paris. And
you think the south of France more than I was telling him Italy. I was telling him.
Yeah, south of France, the second choice would be Italy, but Italy is also very, very different and diverse. It depends what region of Italy. France too. You know, you can be in northern France, and Normandy is completely different than La Rochelle and Bordeaux to the west, or the southern France completely, or the central France. Yeah. The same with Italy. Northern Italy, the mountains and the coasts, and the southern Italy, completely different story.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I've decided now, just now, that I'm going to start up a GoFundMe for my 40th birthday, my trip to Europe, so that I can be cultured. That's why everybody does it. Why not?
I'll contribute only if it's a one-way ticket.
Okay. More with Mo, live from London. Live from Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you go to those places that I just mentioned, I mean, it's comparable to decent dining, for example, in Beverly Hills, or those kind of this is kind of a price range that we were talking about. So, you know, for a person that lives in Southern California, you kind of, you know, sometimes if you want to treat yourself and you don't want to spend too much money, it depends on your priorities. Sure. If you prefer to stay in a nice hotel, you spend more money on lodging versus on food or whatever, you know, or you prefer.
I spend my money on food. Food in museums and things like that.
If you go to Southern France or Italy, you have to enjoy this local cuisine.
And but I was going to say, like, if you want to go to museums and stuff like that, that's why, to me, Italy is great. There's a museum practically like on every corner.
I would say any European country you go to, this is what attracts Americans to Europe mostly. The heritage, the culture, the museums, the castles and everything that is old versus Europeans like America, because they love wide roads, plenty of space, the simplicity of life, and you know, and this is what I found attractive here.
And the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
And
they love it. Now, you come from Poland.
Yes.
How long have you lived in the U.S.?
I have lived in the U.S. for about 7.5 years now.
Okay. Now, what was life? What's life like living in Poland? Why did you choose to come to the U.S.?
Life in Poland. You know, Poland is a beautiful green country, very clean. People are very hardworking, but very conservative. And I was growing up as a person with a very liberal, open mind, you know, to the world and to a lot of issues. And I never felt very connected to the culture back in Poland because I'm another religious person, and this is mostly 99.9 Catholic country, very white Catholic country, very, very conservative. And the culture is intermingling with the religion. So if there are religious holidays and I don't celebrate that religion, you know, I'm not really part of that culture that much, you know. And I was, you know, my parents gave me a choice versus, because half of my family was religious, the other wasn't, you know, what path should I pursue? And as a child, I was growing up, you know, experiencing both sides, but I never found that I need religion in my life to be happy, you know, or to follow any religious commandments and things like that to be a better person. I mean, you know, there are universal values that you go by. So, there's a lot of negative things that happened in my life in terms of growing up in Poland. People are very jealous. They're in your business. They are very judgmental. Things of that nature were pushing me away from being there. I never really felt like I'm home. I needed, you know, I traveled a lot. I needed to change a place, you know. That's why I came to America. I mean, I got athletic scholarship at one of the universities here. So, you know, I chose to go to Southern California. Seemed like it'd be an interesting place. I didn't want to go to England or other European town because I've been there. And yeah, and see how it goes. And it's been 7.5 years for me.
So a athletic scholarship in badminton?
No,
tennis?
Not really, but also
include
a bigger ball. Bigger ball.
A bigger ball.
A bigger ball, yeah. You play that sport with a bigger ball than
okay, football.
So what
sport was this?
It's called football in the world. In America, it's called soccer.
One of my favorite sports that I don't watch, that I know very little
you
about.
Suck.
I played soccer when I was in like middle school because I was required to for gym class.
Really?
Yeah, I played a lot of sports.
I really find that hard to believe.
I played.
I just can't imagine
football.
You running.
I played football. Yeah. I used to be a skinny little kid. I could run. Yeah, I should have done cross country.
I want to see you run now.
It would look like the Pamela Anderson slow-mo with the boobs bouncing. That would be me, right?
It's going to be the Mo Challenge.
Yes, exactly.
The it's so funny. I just wrote, I guess when this airs. So I have a website. I have to bring this up. Sorry to interrupt, but I have to bring this up. So I just wrote a blog post about I have a website called stupidlifecoach.com, and I wrote a blog post. Every month I give an award to the stupid fuck of the month, and I doubt you've ever read any of them. But this month's stupid fuck of the month is crazy soccer fans watching the European championships and crazy soccer fans who take this shit too seriously. And just the craziness of it all, and it drives me up the wall. It makes me crazy that they get so freaking crazy.
I'm one of them, so if you want to ask me questions about that, probably I'm a good person to ask.
Yeah, but like, they all go nuts. And like, I forget what game it was. This poor guy, somebody scores the goal, and this kid, they show this shot of a kid, and the crowd just sobbing like his dad just died or his dog. And this kid's like, it's just a goal. Relax, people. And I've talked to people about this from Europe and actually South America about this a lot through the years, and they all say the same thing. It's unlike America. In America, we have so many sports to really be enjoy or to be connected to, and teams or whatever. But in Europe and everywhere, they just have soccer. That's it.
I would say that there is a big difference between understanding sports in America and Europe, because I'll give you an example from a professional league here. Let's say an NBA team.
Right.
Seattle Supersonics used to be a team, right? For many years, a very successful team. All of a sudden, there's no Seattle Supersonics anymore. Right. If you would move a team of that caliber, like Manchester United, Real Madrid, from a town to a different town, you would get killed, your family will be kidnapped, and who knows what will happen. I mean, the level of attachment and tradition and heritage in terms of how people are connected to their teams, it's unbelievable comparing to here. Here you can just, it's a matter of, okay, I have the budget, I'm going to buy a team.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, they're moving football teams, they're moving basketball teams, hockey teams. to me something beyond my understanding how you can find this fan base really connected to a team. All of a sudden the team is coming to a new town, and so what, you're going to build a brand new fan base. Yeah. Now you're becoming a fan of a Oklahoma City Thunder, for instance, yeah, versus Seattle Supersonics or whatever team that was, right?
I saw the Seattle Supersonics play actually in Seattle about 20 years ago. I saw one game up there.
Did you really?
Yeah, at the Key Arena.
Yes, very good. Very good.
I used to live near Key Arena, so that's how I remember.
It's just the passion is so. There's a side of me just thinks like, I just want to tell people, relax, people. It's like, calm down. It's just a game. It's just a game in your country, your city, and they're gonna, I don't know. It drives me. I understand it because I'm passionate about my San Francisco Giants. I'm a baseball fan. I could care less about any other team in the world, but I'm connected to my Giants because I grew up with them. And I understand passion, but there's some point that I always tell people, keep your perspective. It's just a game, people, at the end of the day. And you know what? They're going to be back next year, and they're going to be playing next year.
No, that's and absolutely it's like, right. Yeah, you I agree know, with you. I agree with you. You have to have,
perspective.
Right, perspective on things.
So what did you think of Leicester City this year?
I mean, this is the beautiful thing about the competition in Europe, because you see, in America, you wouldn't imagine team with a way smaller budget or just the underdog winning a huge league like English Premier League. Yeah. And in the same happened with Germany with a team called Hoffenheim, which is like a little town village almost comparing to those big powerhouses and still can compete.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is that Los Angeles Lakers this season completely played... That was the worst team in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
If that happened in English Premier League, that the team of like Manchester United would be the bottom of the table, it would get relegated to a lower division. So we had a motivation to play the whole season to really save their season.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, instead of being relegated, you got a promotion because you got to get a first pick of draft.
Exactly.
So from a fan standpoint, I don't know if that's the right formula. Of course, it's good because people, there's a wealthy league. It's an entertainment show. People are watching it. They wanted the competition level to be as high as possible.
Yeah.
But there's also something...
I'm a fan of relegation. I wish they would have it here.
They give you a sense of either you're fighting for a championship or if you are not
to
there,
stay in.
Yeah, you start fighting. So
do you know what I'm talking about? Do you understand?
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I'm about ready to change this conversation around because I don't watch sports.
Okay, one last soccer question.
The only reason why I'm allowing this to happen is because Jay's obviously passionate about sports, and I'm going to allow him to go.
One last question about
Mr. Avery, put your hand down.
One last question about sports and soccer. So, what's your favorite team, and who's your favorite player?
My favorite team was always Manchester United.
Yes.
And my favorite player at that time was Peter Schmeichel, because that was the time when I was a very young kid, and I was actually in Manchester practicing with the United and City when I was 14 years old. So for me, it was like dream comes true to just meet those people.
Yeah.
The only mistake that I made, I never stayed either in England at that age or other major country, and I could grow up there.
Right.
And improve my skills
Are you a Beckham fan at all? David Beckham fan?
I mean, I met him at that time when he was playing for United. So I was a kid and I remember he was part of that team. I think he was a brilliant player and an incredible free kick taker that you wouldn't find easily. So,
I know.
Yeah.
He's amazing. All right, no more soccer.
No more sports.
No, okay. Well, let's go with this.
You're
passionate. You played. That's what brought you here. At what point in time did you go from soccer into porn? How did this... you don't just walk into porn. It doesn't just happen.
I've done so many different things in my life. You know, I was playing... I was a pretty good student at school, so that was definitely something that I was always... I was a nerd, you know. You would call it a person like me a nerd when I was growing up. Sports, because my family was in sports. My both parents were professional athletes in different sports disciplines, so that was a natural thing to pursue. And it's a great thing to pursue as a kid because, you know, me as an only child, interacting with people in a social environment like sports and then learning how to take adversities, how to deal with, competition, things like that of that nature were really helpful growing up. And then, my ex-girlfriend was a model. So, she was, okay, you should try this. Like, I don't know about that. I got seriously injured when I was really young. So I couldn't really continue. I could continue, but I lost about a year and a half of my early career. My contract expired. I had to go to lower divisions or stay at school. And I started pursuing different things. I was always very crazy sexually. Mm-hmm. So I was growing up kind of watching a lot of pornography, and I was always thinking like that's an avenue that I would like to see how what I could what could I do in there. And then I have this kind of natural personality that feels good as an entertainer and then being in front of a camera. So, you know, I just waited for the right moment to jump in. And long story short, I did modeling. I did some commercial acting when I came here to Los Angeles. And I wasn't involved in this industry. I met somebody on the subway. There's a subway in Los Angeles. There is a train system.
You were taking the subway in LA?
I was exactly.
Wow.
As a European, it was like a natural thing. Okay, I have to. I'm working in this place, so I should be next to some public transportation because it's a big city. There's a lot of traffic. So,
have you ever taken the subway, Mo?
Here in LA?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's not popular.
Usually it's when I don't want to deal with parking in Hollywood or something, or if I'm going to be drinking, I'll take an Uber maybe to just the Universal City subway and then take it over to Hollywood and Highland or wherever I'm going to go. And it's an easy way. Or if I'm going downtown, sometimes I'll do that if I'm going to be drinking. I use it as an alcohol deterrent.
So you met...
That's what I'm saying. I was on the train coming back from work, you know, tired, about 7 p.m. or something. I'm listening to music. I have my headphones on. And all of a sudden, somebody taps me on the shoulder. And there's this girl, and she's telling me, my name is Cassandra, this is my phone number. And I'm like, what? I mean, she just woke me up. Literally, I was shocked. I was like,
how many times has that happened to you, Mo, on the subway?
Never, ever. Hi, can you spare some change?
I was thinking that was the only time that something that happened to me. So yeah, it didn't happen any more times.
One day, I hope that happens in my life. Ladies, hook me up.
Seriously, they just gave you your number.
Yeah. So I was very surprised. And then I realized, okay, I'm single at that point. You know, my ex wasn't with me, and she left me months before. And I was like, you know, she has guts to do that. And I was like, why? I'm going to just go out with her. Long story short, she was a porn star. When she showed me her Facebook, and I recognized some people because I was interested in pornography, I was like telling my roommate at that time, listen, you know, I think she's in porn. You know, what are we going to do now? So, you know, it was funny at the beginning. And then she looked at me at the second or third time when we saw each other. It's like, you know. And I said, yeah, I know. It's like, damn it. You know, you figure it out in 2 or 3 days. I gave you like a week or so. So she tried to introduce me to one agent, but it didn't really work out. And then I just like, this is not going to work. I don't know. I don't think so. Then I got approached by different companies to shoot some amateur stuff, like college kind of amateur porn. And I was thinking, I don't know. And finally I decided, okay, I'll give it a try. And that's how it pretty much started. You know, I just did that scene, and then I got an agent, different agent, and then the agent threw me into a very deep water. I was completely unprepared. I didn't know anything about it in this industry. I didn't make any research. I didn't know anybody. So basically I had to learn everything the hard way. So it took me a while.
How many scenes do you think you've done?
More than 200 at this point.
More than 200.
Yes.
Now, how many women do you think you slept with before you got into porn?
Quite a few.
Are we talking hundreds?
No, I wouldn't say hundreds. I don't know. But yeah, I was very sexually active. I grew up in Poland. And as I said, it's a conservative country, but it's a country where people love sex, and they do a lot of things behind closed doors. Especially women are very comfortable with, let's say, going for a vacation to countries like Greece or Spain and just going topless, and they are very sexual, and they are very adventurous sexually. So I kind of grew up with this, you know. So
how old are you when you lost your virginity?
16 and a half, something like that. But it wasn't a good extent. No,
it's never good.
I didn't even initiate that. That was this girl that was like just kind of offered me this. Oh shit! I think it's gonna happen. And, you know.
And it happened.
And I was a shy guy.
So you were raped.
I wasn't raped.
Seduced.
You were consented. I was seduced. Yeah. And I consented.
You were consented.
Okay. Absolutely.
It was
seduction. Consented.
He was like, "Oh my God, what is this?"
I consented, but yeah, but I was shy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was shy.
Yeah.
I wasn't the person that is just very comfortable with approaching women, and just I didn't even have a pickup line. I don't know those things.
What's your pickup line?
I
now?
Don't have any pickup lines. I've never had any. So
he gets by on his looks. That's what it is. That's all it is.
He just smiles.
I'm just myself. I mean, it's simple. I like things simple. You know,
yeah.
People
he just starts talking about soccer. That's the trick.
Yeah, I'm myself, and girls just kind of avoid me. They're afraid of me. They say, can I do my paperwork now? So that's basically it.
This is the kind of conversation that I had with Ryan Ryder and then some other British guys that I know from the industry and it's some event, and then Jasmine Jay, his wife, coming there. And it's like, oh, you still talking about soccer? Okay. So she's leaving, and then she's waiting until it's going to finish. So I don't think this is actually a way to go. But.
Exactly.
So it's always a fun question to ask. Who's your favorite performer to work with?
I mean, obviously, I would go with my partner Layla Sin because, you know, she's amazing.
Well, that's
the outside, show, Layla Sin.
That's what she
Penthouse
didn't.
Pet of
she
the
didn't
year,
choose
Layla
you, Sin. By the way.
I doubt that, but yeah,
she chose a girl.
She chose just kidding.
Whatever. But yeah, but you know, honestly, of course, we have a very great chemistry. But apart from her, you know, I would say Scarlett Red. I've shot quite a few good scenes and movies with her, and she is a very classy, beautiful woman, and you know, we connect very well. On the very sexual part, I would say Adria Fox is crazy sexual, and I enjoy working with her. And then was a girl that I think was a brilliant performer. She doesn't perform with guys at this point, Skin Diamond. Mm-hmm. And I think
she stopped performing with guys.
I think she stopped currently
Skin is not performing hardcore.
Oh, okay.
She's looking at a mainstream career and doing quite well. And out of all the girls that I hear that go, I'm going into mainstream, I'm going to shift over this, Skin is the one that can do it. Skin can pull it off.
Time.
She has a look, she has an attitude, she has everything.
I've shot Skin half a dozen times, at least. And had some good times with Skin Diamond.
Yeah, she's she's a fun girl.
I'll tell you guys later. She's a full package in terms of the professionalism, the acting skills, the attitude on set, and in all the industry, the sexuality that she brings.
And she is just such a sweetheart. She moved into Hollywood when she first kind of came in, and I would take her out to go get hamburgers because she didn't know a lot around town. So I'd take her to go get a hamburger like every month or so, like just to hang out with her, just to give her a vibe. We'd have just the best time.
And she grew up in Scotland, which was something very interesting that I've learned about her, because there are no traces or traits of her accent or anything that would betray. Sometimes there is a word or here and there, but you have to be very, very focused to actually pick it up.
Now, I see you on Penthouse sets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're pretty mainstream, if you will. Is that the kind of porn you enjoy making, or do you have a wilder side, or what do you like doing when you go to work?
Yes, so Penthouse is definitely one of my favorite companies because it shoots pretty adult stuff, and at the same time there is a room for the sexual part of it, so you know, it's not too soft and it's not too extreme, and it brings beautiful things together. So people, performers, you know, lighting and stories and things like that. It's a lot of work, but I appreciate that because, you know, I know that people care, and then it looks way better than shooting for different companies.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite genre in adult industry would be something that I called glam gonzo, or maybe I don't know if it really exists, but how I see it is a very simple setup where, you know, you have an amazing sexy girl doing a little tease, and there is this very, very good sex and chemistry between the performers. So it's really real and raw without too many distractions. So you don't need really, I don't know, great sets and beautiful backgrounds, but it's, we're shooting sex, so about sex. The better the connection, the more real it is. I think this is something that turns me on the most. And it's just that part. If we are shooting something more mainstream that focuses on acting or other parts, I understand that. But, you know, if we're in the adult industry, sex is the main subject, I guess. So
we need to find out if glamzo.com is available, because glam and gonzo, that's good. Glamzo.
Glamzo. I told you about my whole thing, what I call girls who do glamour, kind of glamour models. I call them, I call that glambo, as in for glamour and bimbos.
Glambos.
Yeah, I do.
Whatever.
I've said that
name
for years.
Is that, yeah, but this is pretty much what I want to describe as something that I personally would enjoy watching and making the most.
Yeah.
That's more my style. It's like, I like watching
Julie Land
gonzo.
With girls.
Yeah. I like watching boy girl sex. Girl girl sex
like,
to me is
boring. I know. I don't like I know, I was gonna say I can't get it, but I always tell people like I've never shot boy girl sex. I don't ever
I like to watch an attractive guy and an attractive girl fuck. Hardcore, usually anal. The
really?
Rest of it, yeah. Usually the rest of it's like so, you know, you go through and you have Manuel Ferreira, who's a good-looking guy, really is a solid performer, and a really hot chick. You know, or take somebody like, you put Manuel with Jada Stevens. Do an anal scene like that? Fuck yeah.
Jada who?
Jada Stevens.
Never heard of her.
She's got a. She's kind of known for her ass. She doesn't do anal anymore, but...
I don't know. Never heard of her.
She loves smoking weed.
Oh, that girl. The girl that gets me high all the time. That I know.
There it is.
Brings
there
back a memory. Is. Yes, she gets me high too many times to count.
She does. She likes the weed.
Yes, she does, and she likes to fuck.
She does like to fuck.
And I love her naked.
Now, do you watch porn?
Almost... I don't think so anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I do, but like at this point, no.
But I think you watch it now just like, oh, what is somebody doing? Or who's that person? Or like,
yeah, you know, at this point, if I see a scene being released for some company that I work for, I know exactly which director was that because I know the style, how they're shooting. And sometimes I just look at it from a more technical standpoint, you know, for, as a performer. So I just want to see, you know, some inspiration or something or to just generally expand my horizons about, you know, because there are so many different genres. I work for people in Europe like Erika Last, for example, who is a very strong opinion about feminism and feminist porn. So she's this one of a woman that is creating porn for women and empowering women. So she has a lot of coverage on mainstream magazines like Cosmopolitan, like GQ, all those kind of things. And, you know, and she treats males also as subjects versus objects, like in typical Gonzo, how it all started. So it's kind of, I always had this philosophy to bring it to the industry that we as performers, we represent this industry and our life outside of this industry is also that some also how we carry ourselves is important, what we bring to the table. Because, you know, a lot of girls, especially in the industry, has huge following base. They have a strong voice. If they use that voice in the right direction, they can change the world. And it's really the world has to evolve. No, we're living in 21st century. People are stigmatizing sex as something very negative.
And it's stupid.
I mean, I always go back to the history. I love history. So I always go back, when I observe the world, I go back to history. In ancient Rome and Greece, sex was something that people glorified. They sculpted those beautiful naked bodies of both men and women. They experimented sexually. That was something natural. This human instinct. We are born as sexual creatures. None of us would be here if we were not sex, right? And then the medieval times coming and people, it lingers for more than 1,000 years that people are afraid of exploring their sexuality.
And why? Religion.
The religion. Exactly. That's what I wanted
it all
to
up.
Kind of, I don't want to offend anybody. But,
I will.
But that's basically.
I grew up Catholic, so I.
That's, you know, I grew up in a Catholic country and I see how damaging that is to people when people are repressing their sexuality. For example, Catholic priests in the churches where there are sexual abusers or they there's no outlet for them to do it naturally. And then, you know, they try to do it behind closed doors, behind the carpet. And then the scandals are being really, you know.
It just makes me laugh. Growing up as a kid, when I think about sexual education that I got, my parents, I always tell people to this day, I'm waiting for that conversation. My parents never talked about sex.
Yeah.
Never. I had to learn it. You know, luckily I read the book Joy of Sex when I was like 10. And that's how I learned about sex.
I read The Joy of Cooking.
Naked.
Pretty good. Different. I read The Joy of Sex.
Joy of Sex. So you talked about the girls having, you know, a fan base or, you know, an outlet. You have an outlet. You're on Twitter. You're on Instagram.
Of course. Do you
use that?
Yes. I mean, you know, I have a very loyal and a very... loyal and very high quality fan base, I would say, because I don't post any negative things. I don't talk bad about other people. You know, I use it for positive reasons. Yeah. I express my opinions. I interact with people. I like that outlet. You know, there's a Periscope that I sometimes use to have a conversation with people because, you know, I'm not a person that goes to conventions or you know, it's all over the place and then people go and talk to me. And there are people who are from all over the world who would like to ask me a question or just have a conversation about something. And I'm available to do that. And
while he's in the bathtub. I actually was on Periscope when he was Periscoping live from the bathtub. He was in the bathtub doing it, and so I decided to chime in because I thought that was
Did you
funny.
Say something?
Oh, yeah, of course I did.
Where's your rubber ducky?
Yeah, I don't know what
I'm saying. I'm a busy man, you know. Sometimes there is not enough time during the day, so
I'm
in a bath,
just
why
so you
not?
Know, like, I'm a firm believer of what you're saying in that because I've told that to my girls through the years. I mean, I've had a total of about 12 girls that I've worked with through Julieland was that I always tell them all the time, is like, if you have a voice, so say something. You can talk about who you fucked and how much fun you're having, but also mix in something that you believe in and mix in point, you know, like you have a voice, say something to the, you know, like use it to the, to its best.
Very strong influence. I mean, and to change, you know, people complain in the industry, within the industry, that well, all porn stars or adult actors are stigmatized or there is so much negativity there or drugs or other issues. But there are people who are representing a different light of this. Why not to show this an example and show, no, these are the same people in the same industry, but we carry ourselves differently. Yeah. We want to change the face of it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling to my co-stars many times, you know, you have that opportunity. Yeah. You know, this should be a so-called mainstream discussion about this, because on one hand, we are glorifying actors. I gave that example more than once about Christian Bale that I like as an actor playing American Psycho. There's so much violence, so much, you know, all the criminal stuff and all this negativity that comes from mainstream movies, and we glorify them as brilliant acting. But when we see two adults or more acting in a sexual act or you know, consenting adults presenting something, it doesn't have to be outrageous, doesn't have to be, you know, extreme. Just having sex in a beautiful way that we just talked about. This is being considered as something that is very negative, how is it negative to the society? I mean, let's face the reality. What really causes more negative behaviors?
Violence.
Having an outlet. Violence, exactly. But having an outlet for a lot of people, I don't really care if you watch the adult the porn just because let's say you have a lot of negative energy, something happened in your life. It's better to have that outlet and release it in a way of this type of entertainment versus going on the streets and shooting people.
Exactly.
And, you know, repressing
my motto,
sexuality is very dangerous.
My motto all the time is, like, when I started Julieland, was always like, it's just sex. For fuck's sake, people, it's just sex.
No, right? We eat.
Let's keep exactly. We eat, we breathe, it's, we're animals. That's the end of the day. And animals like to fuck.
The only difference.
Animals like to fuck.
.com.
The only difference in that is that some people are way more sexual than the others, and some people just, you know, have sex for them is more important. Like they form relationships. Let's say for some people, sexual life is very, very important, and that's a very important building block of their relationship. Versus others, not really. You know, they prefer to do other things, and sex is
which
not
is fine,
which is totally fine. But you have to understand both sides, and you know, stigmatizing it on you know,
exactly.
It's a wrong 21st century. Come on,
that's what I'm gonna do when I turn 40. Is I'm gonna make my life more sexual. Time to bang more. There you go.
Just stay safe.
The 40s are going to be your best decade.
Stay safe and responsible.
40s are going to be my
20s. Exactly.
Well, Jay, I have some questions for you here. We have 10 questions, and we stole these from Inside the Actor Studio originally, and then I created my own because I'm mildly creative. So whatever comes to your whatever word comes to your mind first, that's the answer to your question. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What word or phrase do you say most during sex?
Oh, yeah.
I just pictured the Kool-Aid man busted through a wall.
Oh yeah.
If you won a major award, whom would you like to thank first?
For those people who decided to give me that award.
Ah, very good.
I think that's the first time somebody's answered that. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
I think it would be an oak, because it's a very stable, solid, and strong. Like myself.
Social media or social interaction?
Social interaction always.
How long could you live without your cell phone?
A very short time. Too short.
Like about 5 minutes.
If you won $1 million, what would you buy first?
I think I would buy a house.
In LA, that's pretty. That's pretty cheap.
When you buy more money involved, I would say, but that's my priority. I would definitely like to buy some sort of a dream house.
When you might go buy a bottle of champagne first to celebrate.
Oh, that's good.
Included in the package.
If you were stranded on an island, what one personal item would you want?
A bottle of water.
Sunny day or rainy day?
Sunny day always.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I wanted to be a professional soccer player, successful professional soccer player.
What about now?
A very happy person.
He wanted to be Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, actually, was a goalkeeper. So yeah, my I don't know. But yeah, But I definitely wanted to do this to happen.
Gotta go eat.
If you could have dinner with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
I would pick my grandfather because he's dead and I haven't finished something that we started before he died. So definitely I would pick him.
Very nice.
It's the old thing. Like, I want to talk to somebody who's dead because they owed me $20 and I never got that $20 back. And I'd want to make sure they, like, I want that money.
Well, Jay Smooth, thank you so much for coming out. I appreciate it. Where can your fans find you out there on the social media world?
Thank you very much, guys, for having me. I'm on Twitter. It's at jaysmoothxxx, J-A-Y, smoothxxx. And then I also post a lot of things on Instagram, which are not related only to my adult work, which is at Freedom Boson, Freedom B-O-S-O-N, if you know what boson is.
No.
Okay. It's like a particle. Oh. Force carrier particle in a elementary quantum physics.
He's too, you're far
he's
smart.
Too, he's too smart for us.
Way too smart. And what about Periscope?
Periscope, yeah, it's connected to my Twitter, so I think it's either jsmoothxxx or jsmoothx. I mean, I don't really remember.
Softcore. Jsmoothx is softcore. Triple X hardcore.
Yeah, let's. Yeah. I, you know, the problem these days is like everybody, because of the social media, a lot of girls especially are putting everything on Twitter, on their social media, and then they claim that there is no too much business for anything. I mean, you know, maybe they should rethink the marketing and understanding how they can use their social media for.
Nice. Mr. Avery, where can we find you out on the interwebs?
That's a good question. Follow me on Twitter at Dick Avery. Mm-hmm. D-I-C-K-A-V-E-R-Y, or at Julie Land.
Very nice. Well, my name is Mo Reese. This is More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at Mo Triple X, or Mox, as some people like to call me. On Instagram, I'm The Average Mo. You can listen to More with Mo on SoundCloud, iTunes, and you can check out everything in the world of Mo on TheAverageMo.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.